Thank you, Nathan. That was a great. You could tell he's playing with conviction, right? He believes it. He needs his God every day, every moment of every hour. We have a men's weekend coming up, and the deadline is today at 12:30, and it's out in the lobby. There's a basket, and if you haven't considered it, or if you haven't done that yet, or you're still in making decisions, make sure you talk to somebody today and get that taken care of. There's also forms available in the lobby. Just a reminder also, we still have a lost and found box. I believe it's left over from our family camp. Some of it is. Maybe not, but at any rate, there's a lot of stuff out there. So if you aren't even sure, take a look and see if there's something there that might be yours. Also, we have a fall cleanup day coming. And talk about a great opportunity to have fellowship and to respond to God's love with service in the church. And again, we've all been a part of it. A lot of these of us have been a part of these. There's work that's to be done on the inside of the building. There's stuff that can be done outside. And as we're always reminded, it's not about the stuff that we're doing. It's about the fellowship that we get to have together when we do it. And that's going to be Saturday, October 19th from 12 to 4 p.m. here at the building. The cleanup, again, includes indoor and outdoor activities or things that need taken care of. And if you know ahead of time that you're going to be there, it would be helpful to let Jake Depp or Brian Wolf know, so that way they can plan to have what projects we're going to try to accomplish that day. But again, that's the loving thing to do, really. So let them know. And before our brother Mike Clark comes up to share God's word with us this morning, we'll sing one more song. Let's do number 117, Tenderly He Watches Over Me. Actually, it's called Tenderly He Watches, but He Watches Over You. All right, 117.
Thank you, Nathan. Thanks for the selection of songs, too. I'm glad all of you were here, but those songs really ministered to my heart this morning, but I'm glad you got to enjoy them as well. I want to thank Tom for inviting me to teach this morning. It's always wonderful to be here with all of you and get the privilege of doing this. And you can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, if you will. And while you're turning, I'm going to pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for what you have called us to in this wonderful body of Christ, for as you told us in manifestations, giving us your Spirit, giving us your Word, so that we could come to know you and to grow up into our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be able to glorify you in this world, Father, as we walk together in this body. And I pray for our time together this morning, that our hearts can be humble and meek to you and to your Word, that you can just work in us and help us to see those things we need to see so that we can grow closer to you and grow up into Christ. And I thank you for this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I was listening to our class on God's Word, the Foundation for Life, and in the opening section where Tom's covering the subject of the Bible is the Word of God, he hit a scripture that caused me to pause and consider, and it's here in Psalm 119. And it's in verse 24, where it says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." God's word was to him his delight and his counselors. You know, delight is something that brings enjoyment, something that brings pleasure, something that brings satisfaction to us. And he says those scriptures were his delight. And it says they were also his counselors. I don't know. Do they still have guidance counselors in high schools anymore? Do they still do that? That was like the only counselor I ever was aware of in my life. I didn't have a lot of counselors outside of that. I guess parents, but we never thought in those terms. You know, but I remember typically in the senior year was where the guidance counselor became important because students were trying to figure out if they were going to go to college or if they were going to get into a trade. And they'd go to the guidance counselor to get help. And if they were going to go to college, what were they going to pursue? What college were they going to go to? And they were there basically to give advice, right? That was their purpose, to give you advice. And that's what a counselor is. And that's what the psalmist here says these scriptures were to him. They were his counselors. You know, they were there to advise him, to help him to choose the right path, to help him to make a wise choice rather than a foolish choice. And one thing that tells me about the psalmist was the scriptures were more than just something that he read. It was something that he was engaged in, something that he went to not just to read for information, but to find counsel in, you know, to get direction, to make sure he was on the right path. And, you know, that kind of a relationship is something that all of us need to have with the scriptures. And it's a very personal thing that we have. You know, Sunday mornings, the classes we have, all these things are wonderful. You know, there are great times where we get to hear God's word, we get instructed in the things of God. But that's no substitute for your time in the scriptures, that personal time that you have with your Heavenly Father as you are going to his word. You know, there's no substitution for that. Because that's so important, because then he's right there working with you individually, you know, to help you grow up into what he's called you to do, so that we can then be active members in this body together collectively. And look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. As when I normally teach, I know I usually take you guys to a lot of new stuff. And I'm going to do the same this morning. No. I'm a pretty basic guy, and I pretty much stick to those things. And so the scriptures we're going to this morning will be familiar to most of you in here. But my prayer this morning is that you don't just take it lightly, but you really take these things to heart and consider them for yourself. Because God expresses his desire really for all mankind here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Well, we'll read verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." You know, God wants all men to be saved. We know not all will, but many will, and we have. And he says he also wants us to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And unfortunately, the more I talk with other Christians outside of our particular church, it makes me sad to see how many are lacking in that second point, really coming unto a knowledge of the truth. You know, because that's such an essential thing for us. Salvation, of course, is essential. I mean, if you're not born again, you're going nowhere. But we still have a life to live here for our Heavenly Father. Once we're born again, He doesn't immediately zap us out of this place. And in order to live the life that He's called us to live and to be a part of what He's called us to be a part of, we need that knowledge of the truth. You know, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. On back a little farther, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in chapter 1 just to get a running start to get to the verse that I want to. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, this isn't written to just those newly born again. It's a figure of speech, a simile, right? It's a comparison by resemblance. As newborn babes. That's simply showing us what type of desire. We have a lot of babies in this church. And I'm sure we've all seen a hungry baby. They're so patient and kind. The way they tap mom on the shoulder and give her that look like it's time. No. No, you. When a baby's hungry, you know, right? Yeah, because it's pursuing being fed. And the word desire here is a word that means to long for, to pursue with love, to long after. So it's an intense thing to desire. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to desire the pure milk of His word. You know, and the desire is something that you and I furnish, right? We want to pursue it. Why would we want to pursue it? Because of what it says in the end of the verse, that ye may grow thereby. You know, He wants us to come unto that knowledge of the truth. He wants us to grow up in His word. He doesn't want us to stay babies. You know, because when we grow up and mature, then we can really be a part of what He's called us to be a part of in this body of Christ. And He wants to do that. He's expressed His desire in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in here. This is what He desires. Now, it's just a matter of, does my desire match the desire of my Heavenly Father? You know, and it's so that we can grow thereby. You remember Jesus when He was being tempted in Luke chapter 4, and He was being tempted to provide for His own need because He was 40 days and 40 nights without eating, which I don't think many of us would be able to do that to begin with, but you know, that's what He did, and He was being tempted, and He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God, or every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, is what it says in Matthew. Because that word of God was the nourishment that He, you know, that we need to grow up into Christ. That's what we need to nourish us, is to have that word. And without a knowledge of the word, we're going to be deficient in what God has called us to do. And if we have that desire, God can work with that. You know, God can work with that. I heard this in a conversation recently, and I know we've talked about that here, where, well, I'm not a reader. I was having a conversation a while back with a saint, and they said this to me, and I almost chuckled. You know, now they weren't talking about themselves, they were talking about their spouse, and they said, well, he's not a reader. You know, not reading is not a birth defect, okay? It's not that some of us are born as readers and some of us are not. Now, you may have, because of your natural makeup, you may be more inclined to enjoy reading than others, but by and large, reading is a choice. It's not that, well, I'm not a reader. Why not? Because you choose not to be. That's it. Now, I did read some disturbing statistics from a book I was reading here recently, and I imagine it's probably worse now because the world never tends to get better. This book was written, I think, in 1990, but it was talking about 19% of high school graduates in the United States cannot read at all. 21% read at a fifth grade level or below. So that's, 40% of the population can't read or can't read very well. You know, now if you happen to be in one of those categories, that's nothing to be ashamed of. You can learn, you can learn to read, and you need to learn to read so that you can read God's word, right? And I know reading in our culture today is sort of old-fashioned. You know, you listen to podcasts or you listen to this. You know, like you let everybody else tell you rather than you going to God's word yourself and opening your eyes and asking your Father to work with you and to help you and to teach you. And that's really where you and I want to be. So if you're not a reader now, you can be, okay? You can become one. And it's a choice that we make. And why would we want to do that? Because I want my desire to match my Father's desire. He wants me to really pursue His Word. He wants me to grow up into who He's called me to be in Christ. And if that's my desire, He can work with me on that. I can become a reader. I can become someone who is engaged in reading. And you remember Jeremiah 15:16. I won't make you turn there. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, is what it says in the King James. But the Hebrew word for was is the word became. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word became unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So if we have that desire in our hearts, and we begin to read God's word, it can become that for you and for me. It can become the joy and rejoicing of our heart. It can become our delight like it was that psalmist. It can become what we find enjoyment in, we find pleasure in, we find satisfaction in reading this word of God. And as we feed on it, God says we can grow. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are verses we read quite a bit as well, but sometimes I wonder if we stop and consider what it's really saying, aside from teaching that the word is God-breathed and so forth. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, doctrine is, it's God giving us His teaching on what He would have us believe, which is the truth, right? Reproof points out those places where we're missing it, and correction brings us back so that we're back on track again. And it says that those three together give us instruction in righteousness. And the word instruction is that word used for the training of children, right? Well, who would be the children that God is training with His word in this instance? Yeah, us. This is God training His children, giving us the doctrine, reproof, and correction that we need so that we can live the right way, so that we can live righteous lives before Him. That's how He trains us. Well, how effective is my training going to be if I never go to class? You know, now granted, I understand, you know, the bell's not going to ring and God's not going to make you take your seat. That's where that desire comes in on our part. That's where we have that passion for knowing God because we love Him and we want to grow up into Christ. You know, so we have to provide that part. And God has done some stuff for us along those lines too, but, you know, we're the ones that have to do it, but this is how He teaches His children. This is how He trains us, is by us going to His Word. And we're learning that doctrine, that reproof, that correction. And I'm sure we've all experienced this. You know, you're reading the Word and a verse you've maybe read 100 times, 1,000 times. you're just reading it like you always do, and you're going through it, and all of a sudden that verse just like hits you in the heart and kind of wakes you up, and you start thinking, wow. You know, that's the kind of stuff that can happen if we're pursuing this. You know, we learn in general. As we read the Word, we're always learning if we're approaching it with a humble heart and coming to it. But as we're doing that, we also have the Spirit of God within us, and God can work in us as well, and He can point those things out to us, those areas maybe where, whether it's we need to sharpen up or we need to step forward or we just need to know this to deal with what we're facing today. He can work in us that way, but He can't do that if we're not exposing ourselves to His training. And that goes back to us. Let's look. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I wasn't going to do this, but this is a great section. And it uses this word for the training of children in here, where in the King James it's translated chastening, you know, which I'll just fill in the word discipline instead of chastening so you don't feel like you're being harmed as I read through this, okay? Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure discipline, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father disciplines not? But if ye be without discipline, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days disciplined us after their own pleasure. But look at this. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no discipline for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You know, we may go through a period of discomfort as we're endeavoring to do these things, but the end result is good, right? The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And God uses that word of God to train us in that way. And, you know, I know some of us think, well, I don't have that kind of discipline. You know, what's your desire? What do you really want? If I ask for a show of hands, looking over this crowd, I know most of you in here, if I said, how many of you do not want to grow in God's Word? I don't think a single hand would go up. I think you all want to grow up into who God's called us to be in Christ. You know, and therefore, we have that desire. It's just putting forth the effort necessary to continue to grow in these things. And, you know, this doesn't change. As long as that trumpet hasn't sounded, this is an ongoing process. You know, we're never going to arrive, you know, to where, well, I don't need to do that anymore. Got that finished. No, it's an ongoing process, and we've all learned that too. Boy, the more you learn of God's Word, the more you realize there is to learn. But it is a wonderful, joyous ride that we're on, for sure. You know, as we do this thing, and we can enjoy that peaceable fruit of righteousness when we're exercised by these things. And that's certainly what God desires for us. And as I said, it's a matter of, does my desire match His? And well, let's look at Matthew 6. I go back to this often with myself because it's so true when it comes to these matters. If I'm, whatever my excuse may be, whether I'm not a reader or I don't have the discipline, whatever the excuse may be, if you go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, there's some truth here that will always get you back on track. Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, what is it that you treasure? That's where your heart's going to be. You know, and as we've been taught, painfully so sometimes, what's really important to us, we make time for. That's just the truth. what is really important to us, we make time for. You can be very, very busy, but if there's something you really want to do, if you need to get up an hour earlier or stay up an hour later or whatever it takes, you'll do it if it's what you really want to do. And if growing in this Word of God and growing up into who God has called us to be in Christ, if that's what we really want, that's what you'll do. That's what you'll do. You'll find the time. You'll carve it out. You'll do whatever's necessary, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, and we're so fortunate in that new birth that we have. You know, God has put His Spirit within us. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that it's a spirit of power and of love. King James says, and of a sound mind. Most of the newer versions say self-discipline or self-control. You know, because in that new nature, God can work with us. And we're built now, when we're born again, if we will humble ourselves before Him, that Spirit inclines our hearts to the things of God if we'll be willing to be led, if we'll follow that inclination. You know, so we've got an added benefit. We have so much more than what the psalmist had in the new birth that we have received. And we are equipped to live this way. You know, this is what God's called us to, and He equipped us to live in this fashion where we could be in this physical realm and yet be able to also walk in the Spirit and be able to see things through spiritual eyes and to be able to grow up into Christ and enjoy the privileges that we have in Christ. You know, we're equipped to do this now. He's given us His Word. He's given us the Spirit. He can work in us to open our eyes to the things we need to see, to help us to grow. He can train us in this Word. We are so blessed. And really, the effort on our part is marginal. You know, I think of our Lord Jesus Christ. He did all the work. We have all the benefits because we're in Him. You know, and that's a great way to think of it too. When I think of righteousness, if I look in the mirror, I may not see what I want to see. But if I look at Him, I do. You know, He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. So if I'm feeling I'm lacking in any of those things, I just look at Him and say, well, I'm in Him, so I'm good to go. You know, because he's the perfect one. And He won those things for us. And we are so blessed because of God's grace. We just get to enjoy the benefits, you know. I loved in Josh's teaching recently when he taught us about remembering biblically. That is such a wonderful thing to recognize, you know, that remembering is not just being able to pull some random fact, but it's a calling to mind, you know. And that's when it comes to what the psalmist was doing, being engaged with the Word. That's really what we're doing too, is we're bringing that Word to mind. As we're living our lives, that Word just continues to, you know, come to our minds. When we're in situations and circumstances and we need that counsel, we're not sure what direction to take or what's the wise thing to do here, we can call that Word to mind and just consider, okay, what do I know that God says about these things? You know. So that, you know, we are engaged with that Word like the psalmist was, to where we're seeking that help from God. And we are calling those things to mind. And, you know, it's difficult to call something to mind if it's not there to begin with. If we're putting it in there, and I'm sure we've all been in situations too, you're talking to someone, and they make a comment or ask a question, and boom, the verse just pops into your mind, you know, and you just, well, you know, the Word says, whoa, whoa, whoa. And, you know, That's because we've put it in there and God can bring it to mind. You know, we can do those things because he's there to work with us, to help us in these areas. So if we have that desire and go to the Word to learn those things, we're going to be able to grow. And there are two other points I want to make this morning before we wrap things up when it comes to studying the Word. And one is the importance of our attitude when we come to the Word. You know, and that's, I think, obvious to most of you in here. But boy, it's just so important that we come with that reverence and humility when we come to the Word. Never coming to it thinking that, well, I know all this. I just need God to fill me in on this one point. I know the rest. That's not a good way to come to God's Word. You know, we just come humbly before Him and ask Him to teach us, to show us those things. And I want to go to a few verses in Proverbs with you, if you'd turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Last fall, I was cleaning out my desk. My desk seems to accumulate a lot of things in the course of a year. And I was going through my desk, and I found a packet of cards with verses on them. And the title card on the front was Teen Camp 2005. And as I looked through the verses, obviously Proverbs was the topic that year. And there was 18 verses in there, and they were all really good, so I decided, well, I'm going to memorize these, which I did. But there were quite a few verses in there on the topic that we're going to look at in just a few verses here in Proverbs, and that was the fear of the Lord. And that is such a big thing when we come to God, when we come to His Word, is that we show Him the proper reverence. We show Him the proper respect. And when we read His Word, we remember, this is God speaking. This is what He has to say. And that should demand my attention. You know? And it is, as it says here in Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the first thing. You know, that reverence, that awe for God is where we start. Look at Proverbs 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's also another one that was in the Retemeries. We won't go to it. It's Proverbs 13:20. But it goes along with this verse. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So kind of makes you think, who am I hanging out with here? Because they are going to have an impact on me. Look at Proverbs 15. And in verse 33, it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know, so our attitude when we approach God, when we approach His Word, needs to be one of great reverence, one of great humility, recognizing that, you know, He knows everything, I know nothing. And as long as we come to Him with that and also believe that He is there to respond to us. That's what's so awesome. We have this God that is so big. His thoughts are so high. His ways are so high. And yet He reveals them to us. And He's there to listen to us. I love that we have the ability to pray. It's such a joy, such a privilege. And to think that He's listening to my prayers. When I pray, He's listening. But He's listening to yours and yours and yours and yours and your. You know, He hears them all. That's how big our God is. That's an amazing thing. And we get answers. It's not like we're just shooting words up into the air. You know, He's hearing those things and He responds. He's such a wonderful God that we have. So He certainly deserves our respect. And I always think in terms of this, of 1 Thessalonians 2:13, how Paul was so thankful that when those people in Thessalonica received the word, they didn't receive it as the word of men, but as he says, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know, having that type of an attitude that when we hear the word taught, when we hear the word spoken, when we read it, we remember, this is the word of God. It demands my respect. It demands my humility, my awe. And the last point I want to make about this is prayer. And this is something I really, not that I didn't pray, but the prayer wasn't as big a part of my study of the Word as it should have been. I wasn't prayerfully considering the Scriptures, going to that Word, asking God to show me, to open my eyes to these things. And that's something that just has made such a difference in my life, and something I think of you guys down here, you young people, man, this is something to incorporate into your lives now. You know, when you go to the Word, do it prayerfully. Ask God to show you. Ask Him to help you, because that is just so vital. And that's what the psalmist was doing. We're going to look at the context of some of the of that verse we started with. Look at back in Psalm 119. We're going to read a few more verses here in Psalms, and we'll be wrapping it up kind of early this morning, but I think you're getting the point. But the psalmist is conversing with God as what we're reading here, you know, and these statements that he's making are prayerful things. Verse 17 of Psalm 119, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, what a great way to approach the word. I am a stranger in the earth. That sounds kind of familiar. I would say we are too, right? This is not our home. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Oh, what a wonderful way to come to God and to come to his word. You know, just asking him to open your eyes and to show you. Look then in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Do you think he had that desire? Like we read about in 1 Peter chapter 2? Yeah, he says, I have longed after thy precepts. You know, what a wonderful heart this man had. Look down in verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. There's that counselor. You know, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet unto thy counsel. Down in verse 65, just a couple more. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. You know, we certainly do have a good and wonderful God. And he has given us his spirit. He has given us his word. He's equipped us to live this life that he's called us to live. And he's given us this word so that we can grow up in the things that he's called us to. We can learn about him. We can learn about our Lord Jesus Christ. We can learn who we are and who each other are in this wonderful body of Christ. Our God is so good. And it's just a matter of, does my desire match what his desire is? And I think we can say amen to that, right? Amen. Danny?